Current State's been covering the Capital Area Transportation Authority's plan to build a bus rapid transit system, or BRT, between downtown Lansing out to Meridian Township. CATA has secured millions of dollars in grants to pay for the project, over $100 million, which would devote special lanes along Michigan Avenue and Grand River Avenue for buses. Opposition has been voiced along the route, and especially in Meridian Township. Now the plan has a newer foe. Last week, the Greater Lansing Chamber of Commerce announced that it opposes the BRT. Joining us to discuss this latest development, Chamber President Tim Damon. Tim, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark.
And Joe Ford of NetVantage Marketing. Joe is the chairman of the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. Joe, welcome to Current State.
Thanks, Mark.
Let's parse the statement that your group put out last week opposing the BRT. It states, among other things, the decision not to support the BRT system comes following months of research on the part of LRCC, including trips to other communities that have invested in similar systems. Where'd you go to look over these systems, Tim, and what were the negatives that you found in those towns?
Well, sure. Well, thank you. So for us, it really started a little bit over a year ago when we took a group to Cleveland. So I think there was a delegation of probably, I think, around 35, 36 folks, community and business leaders from Lansing area here that went to Cleveland and spent the day. And you know, for us, it was an opportunity, I think, to kind of get your arms around what is bus rapid transit and how does it look and feel and whatnot. And so I think seeing it in Cleveland certainly helped put everything into perspective. And upon the return from there, the Chamber, along with Michigan State University, while others in the community would not go to Grand Rapids, us in Michigan State University, and I also think the city of East Lansing, you know, went over to take a look at the Grand Rapids bus rapid transit and how they had implemented as well. And two vastly different implementations, you know, from center lane infrastructure in Cleveland to the curbside load dedicated lanes during certain peak rush hours in the morning and evening in Grand Rapids. And but certainly both along the same type of economic sectors, and that being higher ed and healthcare, both in Cleveland and in Grand Rapids. And then I think subsequently, you know, coming back from there, our policy committee and continuing through the due diligence had several meetings, including one with a group of members throughout the region here, as well as CATA leadership came in and met with our policy committee members as well back in the middle part of July.
Joe, did you go to Cleveland?
I did not, Mark.
Okay.
No, I was not on either of those trips.
You were on these trips,
yes.
Though. Are those systems appropriate for Cleveland and Grand Rapids in ways that they're not appropriate for Lansing?
Well, I think that the one thing you take away from there is that each community, as we all know, is going to be uniquely different. And how you implement public transportation or transportation systems like a BRT are going to continue to be unique to those communities. In Cleveland, Euclid Avenue, the avenue where the BRT runs is vastly, vastly different than the Michigan Avenue corridor. It's, you know, the infrastructure is much wider. The center lane infrastructure worked there. There was access on parallel streets to get to where folks were going. So the whole center lane, turn lane aspect in Cleveland was negated by that. And we heard that from both the business communities we talked to, the economic developers that we talked to, representatives from the transportation authority as well in Cleveland and how that was implemented. And then I think when you look at Grand Rapids, they chose to go a different approach because, again, it fit within, you know, within their community and how they were implementing the BRT into Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm. Joe, what about CATA's presentation? They made a presentation. Apparently, it did not convince you. What did you take from that presentation?
Well, they were gracious enough to come in July and talk to our policy committee, Mark, and they did a good job of laying everything out in terms of the plan of, you know, showing the full map of what they proposed, what's existing now versus what they want to put into place. We had some very pointed questions at the end of that frankly, we didn't get good answers to at the end of it. And we had a good dialogue with their leadership, but it really came down to a number of things that didn't get satisfied to what we want as we talked to our members and their concerns. And again, this doesn't have to do so much with those in Meridian Township. I think that's almost his own sphere because of some of the concerns they've had. We've obviously got members in Meridian Township, but this was more from general members of the business community, both from large enterprise corporations down to small businesses that were voicing their concerns to us about this plan that was laid out. Some real, we talked about contingency plans. So if Meridian Township is going to oppose this. What is the contingency plan of perhaps a capital to campus route, which I think we're all in favor of? And also, too, I would say that, Mark, it does fly in the face of convention that us as a chamber, a regional chamber, that has done so many things on the regionalism front, would oppose this. I understand that there could be, you could pick up that headline and scratch your head when you see that, but we just didn't like how that plan was in place. So to come back to their meeting, you know, there were very specific questions we had about some of the infrastructure, curbside loading versus center lane, the traffic concerns of what's there now. We all know it's congested now. They seem to think this it would actually improve it. One of the main issues, though, is the revenue projections. And when we want to know and see, when you're building something like this and you're putting such a large-scale infrastructure change into place that's going to cost $134 million down. Obviously, if they found some savings from the original plan of $195. The grants are not revenue. Grants are grants. And at the end of the day, we're all paying for those in one way, shape, or form. A federal or state grant still at the end of the day comes out of our pocket. That's fine. And there's an important piece of the puzzle for those. That's not revenue. And so long-term funding was a concern. And if we haven't solved that problem, I don't think as an organization that has a business mindset where you have profit, loss, revenue, expense, you can't support it in that current plan without a more clear forecast of what the revenue will be. What is the ridership revenue on Route 1 now, and how will that be impacted moving forward? What is their anticipation of increased ridership due to the efficiency of the time going down from 9 minutes to 6 minutes in the savings? What's the revenue gain? Because once it's built, it has to be maintained.
Do you question that 1.7 million ridership? I know some critics have.
I do not. I don't know enough about that to say that's a question. I know it's hard to get information about some of that information from some of those specifics and details from CATA. That's probably another story. But I wanted to see a very concise chart in 19, if the shovel's hitting the ground like they say it was supposed to in 17, 18, even though we've got this debate now of about 30% funded, which seems to have surfaced here lately, in its format, what
30%
is it?
Designed,
right.
I think is what
Excuse
you're meant to
me.
Say.
Yeah, yeah, which is, and we could talk about that. But, what does that revenue forecast look like when we're at full, now we've got our efficiencies in place? And I'm not concerned about the efficiency of the ridership, and I think we all agree that we want a comprehensive regional transportation plan for the area, and this would be huge because it's coming right down our main corridor. But again, it came down to dollars and cents. And then the other issue, too, is there just seems to be a lack of communication throughout this whole process, and I think everybody in the community would kind of shake their head, yes, we would agree with that. CATA would probably even acknowledge that. And hey, in their defense, this is a very large undertaking. I know this has been quite the challenge to try to get this across. But we brought up the concern of if this can't go all the way from Okemos or the Meridian Mall to the Capitol, okay, what's the contingency plan? Could we still get the proper funding from the federal grant process in place to just fund a Capitol campus project, which I think we all would agree could be a nice option? We constantly talk about opening the doors from students to come to downtown Lansing, breaking that barrier of the 127 bridge down that we always talk about, making that. And the answers we got in that setting, they weren't sufficient. The answer we got was the plan is the plan. Okay, so there isn't a contingency plan in place.
It's so interesting to try to interpret that here, too. And we intend to get more guests from CATA on the program.
Sure.
To try to understand this. But because one of their ongoing claims is the project is only 30% designed. So they hear criticism, they hear recommendations, and they say there's time to work these into the design. Mm-hmm. Are you skeptical about that, Tim Damon? Or 30%? Means 70% is still fluid.
Sure. Well, this 30% is something as Joe referenced. I think it's something that's really has come up after some of our meetings with CATA. That was certainly not our understanding or impression as we met with them earlier this year when they were talking about final approvals coming into play this fall with shovels in the ground in 2017. So to me, that's not a project that's 30%. Engineered. And even as we were going through our policy committee meeting, with the CATA leadership, that issue was never as much being at the forefront as it has been since we've come out with our, you know, with our position here. So, so I think we are a little skeptical on that being 30% engineered and the changes and having something 30% engineered, but we're also told 100% funded is not logical, Mark. So I think you've got to somehow in there, you've got to kind of question that. And again, I think it gets back to that communication and making sure that everything is being, everyone's being very transparent here. And I don't know that there's been a lot of transparency in this process.
Tim Damon and Joe Ford of the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce join us. The chambers come out in opposition to CATA's bus rapid transit proposal for new service between the state capitol and the Meridian Mall. You alluded to the process here, and there are recurring complaints of CATA's handling of the process. They haven't answered our questions. They dismissed my question. I've heard that a few times. This has created some resistance and some degree of resentment, I think.
Nobody likes to create an environment where there's all of a sudden there's distrust and all of a sudden everybody's on edge and there's tension. As a region, nothing's going to get done if we go in that way. We can all agree to that. We all want the same thing. You know, first and foremost, our absolute champion corridor in this region, in the Tri-County region, is that real estate from Michigan Avenue to Michigan State. That should be a shining beacon of what our region stands for. Right now, it's crumbling. You could go down and fill a whole dump truck just full of little pebbles from the pavement coming up. There'll actually be a viewpoint piece in the Lansing State Journal tomorrow, penned by me, that details that. It's a small snippet of all what needs to be done, and it has to run concurrently to what this project is. And I think in CATA's defense, they're saying, "Hey, look, part of this, there are some plans in place by the city to work on that infrastructure, which is sorely needed." Our concern now is this has all come up, again, as business people, as a business owner myself that has a business two blocks off this corridor in East Lansing, and as many, many other small businesses and large businesses have, from Accident Fund to Sparrow down to, the car dealership there, the old Bud Coates car dealership, we all have a vested stake in this. And I don't think it does us any good to create vigor and distrust, but I think that we need to come back together and decide, okay, if we're going to do a BRT, fine. How does that play into fixing Michigan Ave now? If not, what's the next alternative, and how far is this going to get pushed back? Because we have to get something in place by the end of 17-18, because that roadway, as we all know, is just getting pounded, and we've got a lot of important organizations on it.
You've both talked about the truncated line, the Lansing to East Lansing, downtown Lansing to campus. What if CATA came back and put that on the table? Are you expecting something like that? What are you expecting CATA to come back to the table with here?
Hard to predict what they'll do, Mark. They'll have to probably come back with that response. But if they came back with that, I think everybody, including Michigan State, who's a large player in this, and both municipalities involved, would take a long look at that. Again, that's a good option. That shows a contingency plan. That's good.
You'd revisit your opposition if they came back to the table
with
that, Tim?
Let me finish that statement. As long as we can see viable funding options beyond the grant process to make sure it was maintained properly, I think that that's something that would be considered.
And I think, too, to Joe's point on the infrastructure, is I look at this in a bigger picture and say, you know what, perhaps it's not a BRT that we need on there, but it's something that's connecting campus to capital that goes along with what Joe's saying and how we rebuild out this infrastructure here. And this is what Grand Rapids did. I mean, when they implemented this, and their investment kind of came into technologies and wireless and new bus stops that were kind of connected electronically. So I think there's ways to do this without the major infrastructure investment of center lane down the corridor. I will tell you something, that within our membership, that is the number one issue. So we will not revisit that. That is the number one issue, is the center lane infrastructure down the middle of Michigan Avenue and taking the lanes out of there. So that's something that we're going to have to figure out how, in this 70% that's not engineered, as we're being told, then we better kind of factor that into that 70%.
Our guests have been Tim Damon and Joe Ford of the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce. The chambers come out in opposition to CATA's bus rapid transit proposal for new service from the state capitol building to the Meridian Mall. Joe, Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Mark.